On behalf of Wildwood Presbyterian Church and the Presbytery of Chicago, I invite you to this most special of days, when for the very first time in the history of our congregation, a member of our church will be ordained to the ministry of Word and Sacrament. 56 years, it's a long time in coming, but boy, have we hit a winner this time. So it is within these walls, or walls across the lake in our sanctuary, that Nicole, as faith has grown, and a good part of her faith journey has been taken place, and we have been blessed by her time with us, and so we are all delighted and thrilled and honored to share this special day with you. And we invite you all to gather for dinner immediately after the service in the gym. There is plenty of wonderful food there, and we would absolutely love for you all to join us. And now Rita Fasel, who is former moderator of the Presbytery of Chicago and our moderator today of our commission.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. As moderator of the commission to install, and from the Presbytery of Chicago, I extend to you greetings from the over 100 churches, the new church developments, and worshiping fellowships that make up the Presbytery of Chicago. We come together, this commission, to install Nicole Farley, and who was approved by the Presbytery, and charged with the and this commission has been charged with the responsibility to ordain her on behalf of the Presbytery. The commission was duly convened before the meeting began and will be dissolved at the pronouncement of the benediction. So nice, almost un-Presbyterian committee, I'd say. As moderator, I will submit a report to the stated clerk of the Presbytery that the commission has fulfilled its charge. And so again, welcome from the Presbytery, and let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. God calls us to be individuals, creative, expressive, and active. God has never made anyone else quite like you or like me. Each one of us has been created and crafted to do specific good works, works for the church, works for each other, and works to build up the body of Christ. There are different kinds of gifts,
but the same Spirit.
There are different kinds of service,
but the same Lord.
There are different kinds of working,
but the same God works all of them.
Thanks be to God.
For the moments and days, the seasons of our lives, when we forget or deny who we are and whose we are, we now come boldly to God, confessing our sins and asking forgiveness through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your gifts, imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Know that we are forgiven and be at peace. And the people say, Amen. Let us turn to one another and share the peace of Christ. So peace be with you and also with you.
Prayer for illumination. Pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
This first reading is from Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
And the second reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread.
At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
What a pleasure and honor and gift it is to be part of the ordination of Nicole Farley, a true friend in life and ministry and a truly gifted leader in Christ Church. Now, Nicole, I would be delighted to sit in the back pew for your ordination. And it might have been safer for you to let me sit there. If I was in the back pew, I wouldn't have the opportunity to remind you of your early years in the church when you stretched yourself a little further than maybe you thought you could by becoming a high school youth advisor, which is indeed hardship duty. You were quiet at first. Can you believe that? But in no time, you found yourself doing crazy things like making shells for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the church talent show, by using your vacations for mission trips, and by hosting all-night movie marathons on New Year's Eve, of all days, for the youth group kids. Events in which your husband Scott and son Jim, then young son Jim, gladly conspired, let me hasten to say, as they have faithfully conspired in all the steps of the journey that has brought you to this moment. So today, we salute the Farley men, as well as Nicole, because this is a family achievement. And we also honor your father and your mother, who gave you life in the beginning and have loved you all along life's way. And we are honored that your mother, Dee, is here today as our ecumenical representative on the Ordination Commission and leading us in worship and celebrating this wonderful occasion. And we trust and know that your father celebrates with us too and is one of God's balcony people in God's time that is beyond time. If I was in the back pew, I wouldn't have the opportunity to mention the deep and lasting blessing of your faithful friendships with the young people of our church and with us older people who hang out with them as well, how you have shaped their lives and ours in ways that we can number, but not always the ways we can number, sometimes the ways we don't even see. Nor could I talk about your dedicated study and your leadership experiences that multiplied your skills and deepened your abilities and turned you into the gifted and committed woman whom we will ordain today as a minister of Word and Sacrament in Christ Church, the very first person in the history of our church to be so ordained. If I was in the back pew, I wouldn't be able to tell you how proud all of us here in Wildwood Presbyterian Church are of you. How proud I am of you in this graceful, as in full of grace moment, on this wonderful, as in full of wonder day. A day that God has given all of us to share with you. I wouldn't be able to say how our hearts are full of memories and gratitude and laughter, the laughter that is at the heart of God's universe. And if I was in the back pew, I wouldn't have the opportunity to cheer for the people of First Presbyterian Church of Waukesha, some of whom are here with us today, Linda representing them up front, who will benefit greatly, Nicole, from you figuring out that while you always had a heart for young people, none of us ever really grows up. So you figured out that you're called to serve not only the age young, but people of every age, whom you will find in Waukesha, as you found here in Wildwood, and everywhere else that the Lord will call you. So thank you for asking me to preach so I could say all that important stuff that I really wanted to say, but now I'd better get to the job you actually asked me to do. So we have the young boy Samuel living with the priest Eli in the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and Eli's sons, to put it kindly, were living thoughtlessly and carelessly, doing no credit to either Eli or to the Lord. Perhaps as a result, the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, that visions were not widespread. And on the night in question, Samuel hears a voice calling his name. Thinking the priest requires his attention, Samuel runs to Eli, but it's not Eli who has called. And after the second time, Eli realizes that the word of the Lord may not be rare on this night. And he gives Samuel some wise counsel. He gives him the words to say the next time he hears the voice. Say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I preached on this text 30 years ago this fall, one of the very first sermons I ever preached as a young intern at a downtown church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And back then, I was quite sure what it meant. It meant that in my day, in 1981, as in Samuel's day, it was now time for the next generation to take over, that preachers of, for example, my age, were now the ones with the word from the Lord, and it was high time for Eli and those of his era to get out of the way and let us say what we needed to say. Now today, it's 30 years later, and I'm looking at the young preacher who is in the front row here, who is soon to be ordained, and I'm no longer sure that's what it means. Actually, I'm very sure that's not what it means. Unfortunately, I figured that out pretty quickly 30 years ago, too. You don't have to read this text very carefully at all to know that it's the word of the Lord is not about speaking in this case, but it's about listening. Remember Eli's wise advice, how Samuel is to respond. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. I remember my very first act of ordained ministry as a young pastor. Kathy and I were serving a church in Pennsylvania, but we went to our home churches to be ordained, as you have. In this case, Illinois, California. It took a week-long trip. We had returned. We were ready. We were now set apart to do the job that we had been called to do, and we're walking across the parking lot our very first day back. It's like Monday morning. It's 9:15 a.m., and there's a big truck in front of the church door, and there's about five of the church's retired men that are loading this truck with boxes. So, of course, being friendly people, we stop by and talk to them and ask them what they're doing. Well, they're loading clothes and household items that have been donated by the congregation to send down to Cow Creek, Kentucky, where Joe Paulus was pastor then, and he was pastor there for like 30 years in these small, tiny, rural, impoverished communities. And these men had loaded up pretty much a whole truck full of stuff to take down there. So we talked with them a little bit, and one of them, Tom, just a great guy, he'd had a stroke, so, you know, half the one side of his mouth didn't work like it should. And he said, "Pastor, how about, before we go, how about if you bless the trip?" And the way his mouth moved, there was a little bit of a smile there, and I thought he was kidding me, so you know what I did? I said, "Sure, bless the trip." Tom just sort of looked at me. I quickly realized that was not the thing to have said. So I walked over and I said, "Tom, you wanted me to say a prayer, didn't you?" He said, "Well, actually, yes, I did." So, well, let's have a prayer then. So he says, "Come on, men, pastor's going to have a prayer." First time I've been called that. "Pastor's going to have a prayer." So we gather around. And then right before I start the first prayer of my ordained career, one of the guys says, "Let's all lay hands on the truck." At that point, I'm not saying no to anything. So we put our hands on the front of this Ford truck. We're all six of us. Where did you go, Kathy? Anyway, where were you? It was just me out there. We all lay hands on this truck, and I said a prayer, and we went, and off, they finished loading the truck, and a couple of them drove off to Cow Creek, Kentucky to deliver it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is why I was ordained, to lay hands on a truck. Probably what I should have said at that point to myself was, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Unfortunately, it didn't take me too long to listen to what the Lord was saying to me about blessing a truck, about how these men had spent days collecting all these items, all these clothes, and how they had carefully loaded it into the truck, and how two of them were going to be spending 3 or 4 days of their life to drive it down to Kentucky, where boys and girls would look at an old used pair of blue jeans as a very special gift. It didn't take me too long, thank God, to listen to the truth that actually this was what I'd been ordained to do. To bless trucks and blue jeans and those boys and girls that would wear the blue jeans, and to bless these men who were serving God in this very simple, straightforward, faithful way. That was why I'd been ordained, to claim the grace and the peace and the presence of Christ, to name for them the promises of God. I'd been ordained to bless, not in my name, to bless in Christ's name. And back then, and in all the years since, it has been good to bless people's lives, and now and then something like a truck, in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. That's a good habit for life, not just for pastors, but anyone. Listen and see what it is God is telling you, not only in words, but also in the events and the moments and the experiences of your life. I remember Wildwood's very first mission trip to Bellsville, Kentucky in 1995 with 13 kids. We had 2 emergency room visits, more mosquitoes than I would care to remember, ugly hot temperatures, and a shack where the water ran in a tiny drip for every shower. We were driving to a park for a picnic on our last night, our closing session on the rope, where the kids can say whatever's on their mind. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to the kids in the back complaining about their aches and pains, and I'm thinking, you know, when they get back home, I think they're going to say it was okay. I think when they get home, they're going to say, pretty well, I'm glad I went. It was a good thing. And of course, when the rope got started and the kids started talking, they're all talking about what a great week it had been, an incredible week, and how they felt so close to everyone and how they'd seen God and the people they were helping. And I thought, how did I miss this? Why did I not see it happening? And of course, what I should have been saying all week was, speak, O Lord, your servant wants to listen. If I'd been listening, if I'd been watching for God, I would have seen the Spirit at work. And now I use that philosophy from Eli and from Samuel, and I'm a little more likely to see what it is God's doing. I used to get concerned when the newsletter editor would resign or one of our pillar families would move away. What are we going to do next? But I learned to say, in one way or another, speak, O Lord, your servant's listening. Because so often, the right person would emerge for that particular responsibility. I finally decided I better just start trusting the Spirit with these things. You know, do the work that I need to do my piece, but nonetheless, trust the Spirit to work. And I would trust that God was going to say something, and things were likely to go much better than what I was fearing, and much better when I was listening. And when our family learned firsthand about tragedy, I could not help but listen as a multitude of people within the church and beyond too spoke the word of the Lord to us, words of compassion and hope and healing. The Lord spoke through them, and we listened then and we're still listening. We live in hard times these days. Financial distress, controversy within the church, international uncertainty, chaos threatens, fear abounds. Maybe old Eli has a word for us to say too. Speak, O Lord, your servant's listening. Maybe God will lead us to fresh insight, new answers. Maybe God will reorder our priorities. Maybe God will tell us the kind of people that we ought to be while we work out the answers for ourselves. We won't know for sure unless we're listening. The carpenter's rule is measure twice, cut once. As people who follow a Jewish carpenter, maybe we should listen twice, speak once. But then again, you can hardly go wrong sticking with Scripture. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. Pray with me. O Lord, when we're listening, your word is not rare. We pray in Christ's name, for the world's sake, for our sakes as well. Amen. Let's worship God by standing and singing that great hymn, Here I Am, Lord. The Presbytery of Chicago has a pastor emergency fund that helps out ministers who are caught in times of financial distress, and it's the tradition of the Presbytery that whenever someone is ordained or installed, that the offering go to that emergency fund. So let us worship God now with these gifts that help those in special need, even as our choir favors us with another anthem.
Be seated. Hear now the words of Scripture from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through each person in a unique way, but it is God's purpose that is accomplished. To each is given a gift of the Spirit to be used for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Hearing God's word, hear now the statement of ordination. We are all called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling. to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, there are some called to particular service as ministers of word and sacrament, as elders, as deacons. Recognizing the importance of each office, the church ordains in order to assure fulfillment of the primary responsibilities of preaching the word and administering the sacraments, ordering the governance of the church, and providing for ministries of care and compassion in the world. Representing the one holy, apostolic, and Catholic Church, the Presbytery of Chicago, by means of this commission, now ordains Nicole Farley to the ministry of Word and Sacrament.
Ordination calls for the whole church to renewed commitment and reminds us all to renew our covenants of baptism. Let us therefore reaffirm our baptismal vows, renouncing all that opposes God and God's rule, and affirming the faith of the Holy Catholic Church. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love?
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? With the whole church, let us confess our faith. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended from heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Nicole Farley, as you stand before this congregation, I ask that you answer the constitutional questions of the Presbyterian Church USA. Do you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do and I will.
Will you be a minister of the word and sacrament in obedience to Jesus Christ, under the authority of Scripture and continually guided by our confessions?
I will, with God's help.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will, with God's help.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will, with God's help.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will, with God's help.
Will you be a faithful minister proclaiming the good news of the word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will, with God's help.
And do we have an elder? No, okay. Do you, the members of this church, accept Nicole as a pastor chosen by God through the voice of the congregation and guided in the ways of Jesus Christ? Do you accept?
We do.
I'm in the wrong place. So we are doing the laying on of hands, and I invite Nicole to kneel on the cushion that Greg's going to bring forward. And I invite all ordained elders and members of Word and Sacrament to come forward for laying on of hands.
And the commission.
And what?
The commission.
The commission.
Invite them.
I got myself in the wrong place here. Sorry.
It's okay.
Aha. Here we go. And we will pray. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon your servant whom you called by baptism as your own. Grant her the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give her a spirit of truthfulness, rightly to proclaim your word in Christ from pulpit, table, and font, and in the words and actions of daily living. Give her the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servant Nicole and to all who serve as pastors among your people gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. And then 66. And I now declare that you are a minister of word and sacrament in the Church of Jesus Christ, and so be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. I declare that you are ordained, and I welcome you to that ministry.
Amen.
And I invite you to stand and greet those around you.
So our first act in ministry was blessing a truck, but my first act in your new ministry is to give you the charge, and I am grateful for this opportunity. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Nicole, this is indeed a joyful day as we gather on this beautiful Sunday evening to give glory to God and to celebrate your ordination to the ministry of word and sacrament. Greg and I have been privileged to have served at Wildwood Presbyterian Church during the years you have been part of this congregation. We have experienced the ups and downs of your journey to this place and time, and we all rejoice with you today. I deeply treasure our friendship and now welcome you as a fellow clergywoman. You will always hold a special place in our hearts. Now, it's impossible for a writer not to love playing with words. And so when I looked at the word charge, a lot of things started whirling through my mind. I thought about all the various ways that that word is used, its many definitions, and it struck me that several were particularly appropriate for the charge I would give you today. The first use of the word charge is that of a force, an energy, as in an electrical charge. You are amazingly creative, and when the wheels of your spirit get to turning, there is a palpable energy that you emit that is contagious. You put your whole heart and soul into what you do, whether for your church or for a family birthday party. You are never at a loss for ideas and wonderful ways of implementing those ideas. The static energy that sparks from your spirit is anything but static. The late David Steele, Presbyterian pastor and regular contributor to the journal The Presbyterian Outlook, wrote once that when he installed elders and deacons in the church, he always amended the constitutional question, "Will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?" to include the word enthusiasm. Nicole, you have a marvelous enthusiasm for ministry, and I think this is one of your greatest gifts. So I charge you to use your God-given charge of enthusiasm as you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, enthusiasm, and love in the days and years to come. The second use of the word charge has a financial aspect. I mean, how many times a week do we get asked the question, will that be debit or charge? Oh, for the days of being asked, will you be paying with cash or check? We live in a society of credit cards where we're constantly accumulating amounts to our charge accounts. And ministry is like that. I'm not talking about how we fill the offering plates. Thankfully, cash and checks are still very much in use on Sunday mornings and evenings. But ministry is a constant building up of connections and relationships. It's an accumulation of personal credit. The time you invest in getting to know the people of your new congregation, in sharing their joys and sorrows, in being present during times of trauma, above all, in being a caring and calming presence and a thoughtful listener, all this is money in the bank of ministry. Every moment you spend loving your people is an investment that will bear interest as the years roll by. The nurturing of relationships may well be the most important aspect of your ministry. So, Nicole, I charge you to build up your credit rating by filling your charge account with people, by treating the people like a treasure that is indeed priceless. The third and final way I use the word charge has a technological bent. Nowadays, we can hardly function without our cell phones, laptops, iPods, iPhones, i-whatevers, and camcorders. We're at the mercy of all those devices that we need to recharge the battery of these wonderful items. Oh, the dreaded sound of the cell phone shutting down in the middle of a conversation when the battery runs out. The utter desolation we experience when the computer reboots mid-sentence as we write our sermon on Saturday night. The drama of our child's iPod running out of batteries in the middle of a road trip. Everything and everyone needs to be recharged on a regular basis in order to do the work that needs to be done. You are a person of great energy and commitment to ministry, but you are also a wife and a mother and a friend and a daughter. So make sure you take the time that is necessary to recharge those batteries and do that often. The years pass by quickly, and you will be facing an empty nest in no time at all. If your batteries run down, you will not have what you need to give to the people that should always be the most important ones in your life, Scott and Jim and Mom. And Nicole, you need time to allow your own soul to breathe. There is a great risk in ministry of not taking the time you need to take and do the things you need to recharge your batteries. And so I charge you to recharge. Have an ongoing conversation with Jesus. No long-distance fees apply. Tap into the Holy Spirit who gives you life and is cordless. Wallow in the love of God. You need never worry about running out of minutes. I charge you, Nicole, to use your energy to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church. I charge you to invest in relationships with people. I charge you to recharge your batteries on a regular basis. And I charge you to be your own wonderful self. So it's a Sunday afternoon. Imagine that you are at a Cubs or a White Sox game. You've already played a few innings. It's a close game, and the bases are loaded. You step up to the plate, and the sound of the organ fires up the crowd, and you know you've got what it takes. Charge! 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 You go, girl.
So the time has come now, Nicole, to invest you with some of the symbols of your new office, and it's exceedingly appropriate that your husband, Scott, presents you with the stole of the day, with the red color of this very special holy day, red, the color of fire. I agree. That was nice. Nicole, I want you to just turn around and look back there for a minute. You see on the communion table a beautiful earthenware communion set. That's the church's, but our congregation... but our congregation has commissioned a communion set that will look very much like that one that is made by the same person who made this one, Fred Gregory. Who, of course, is not only a potter, but also the father of two of the young women who've been part of our youth group, Kelly and Megan, and whose wife Liz is out there. So that will be a very special and unique and wonderful gift to celebrate communion with your new church and on retreats and with youth groups, and who knows. But that comes from all of us, along with this. I'm just going to do the hug. And we also have some folks in our church that go by a number of names, but one of them are the quilting ladies, and some of them are here today. Would you want to stand? Why don't you just come on down here? Why don't we come down here, Nicole? Because they have something to present to you also.
So this is a keep you on the whole night to remind you of all.
And you may be seated. I know there are other gifts out there, but I think they're coming at dinner.
And now it's time to charge you, the congregation. I want to say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. Look at what wonder you have done. You have taken to heart the baptismal covenant that you make. When babies and adults are baptized and blessed with this holy water, you have nurtured and educated, prayed with, walked with, and opened your hearts to Nicole. I want to encourage you to keep doing that very same thing. For sitting in these pews among your midst today are others that have too heard the voice of God calling to them. And you too will continue to walk with them and to pray with them and to nurture those young ones and those old ones among you who are listening carefully for the call of God in their lives. So I charge you to continue to be faithful to the covenant promises you make in each baptism that happens here. I charge you also to continue to love and care and offer your ministry to Scott and to Jim. They will continue to be present here with you, worshiping with you, active in youth group and retreats and mission trips, and they need your love and your support as their family might be separated for a few hours on a Sunday morning, but this will give them lots of opportunities Sunday evening to talk about the day's lectionary and what each of them might have learned with their own congregations that day. I ask you to continue to walk with those who are called. Continue to boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to remain faithful to your own calls, trusting always that the Holy Spirit is present here in this space and living and reigning in your heart forever. Amen.
We reach our grace.
This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust in him to gather together as we keep the feast. As we do so, we not only remember Christ's presence with us and Christ's coming again into the world, we celebrate the sacrament with all those in all times and places, those even in the kingdom of God right now, who have gathered around the banquet table to keep the feast with Christ. So come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you.
Pray with me. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Gracious God, we thank you for pouring your grace into our lives. And so often, O Lord, that your grace comes to us in the words and the deeds of one another. So, Lord, continue to open our hearts to love that you so freely share with us through the people next to us in the pews, the people in our families, those who share this journey of life with us. And Lord, that love and that grace are so fully shown to us in our Savior Jesus, who lived this life as we know it, sharing our joys and sorrows, who gave his life for ours on a cross, and whom you have raised from death to life so that we would know that the last word is not death, but life, life abundant, life everlasting, life that begins now and continues forever in the gladness of your presence. So send your Holy Spirit now upon these gifts of bread and wine and upon we who share them, that as we do, we may be filled with the power, the peace of your presence, with the love and the grace of our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again.
We'll receive the sacrament by coming forward down the side aisle, taking the bread and the cup, and then returning to your seats down the outside aisle. If it's difficult for you to come forward, simply raise your hand and Deacon Michael Dimmock will serve you where you're seated. And remember, all of any church of any tradition, all who trust in Christ are welcome at our Lord's table.
All is prepared. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join in prayer. Blessed are you, God, and Lord of all, Jesus Christ. By your mercy, we are born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, our help, we thank you for this supper shared with your Son, Jesus, who comes to make us new and strong, who comes to bring us life eternal. For the life that you have given us, for the life of Christ within us, for the strength of Christ to lead us, we praise you, O Lord. Now we pray together as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's a tradition at Wildwood Presbyterian Church that when our kids come home from a mission trip, at the end, all the kids and adult leaders that have ever been on a mission trip gather here to sing Sanctuary. And Nicole's chosen that as our last hymn today, which we'll sing through three times. But it seems very appropriate to ask all the young people to come forward, who in some ways were very much a part of your call, Nicole, in many ways, and also representing the many lives that you have blessed in this church. So, Nicole, you're right here. Rick?
Been created and crafted to do good works. Go out from this place to do your work, and may the love of Christ, the grace of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you, with those whom you love, and with those whom God alone loves, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.